Michelle and Alana and Jack for singing that song also. Appreciate the choir singing this morning. Appreciate Brother Jeff leading those songs. And I have to fill in on the music. Miss Becky when she's not here. We certainly do. Appreciate Brother Allen. He's got this baptism put together for us, brother. We really do appreciate that. And appreciate those up in the choir room also, or the sound booth also, and the work that they do for us up there. They do a great job. Wasn't that a good video this morning, amen? It's good. I like looking at those pictures of some of you guys when you're younger. And you look at the time and the period and what it represented. It's very important. It's very special. If you got your Bible this morning, we want to read out of Matthew chapter number 16. And I'm going to try to speak as quickly as I can, but I got something that's been on my heart this morning that I want to share with you, and it's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. And it's very familiar scripture for Bible readers or teachers, and sometimes when God moves me in that direction, I guess I'll be honest with you, I have a tendency to try to negotiate with the Lord and say, God, they've already heard that. I don't need to preach on that, but God knows more than we do. Amen? God knows more than you or I know, and He has better understanding. There is a God, and we are not Him. And I want to read out of Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus comes to Peter and He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, the title this morning of the message ultimately is, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" Because whom you say that Jesus is probably the most important thing about you. More important than your education, more important than who you marry, more important than the accomplishments that you have in your life. It's the most important thing about you. Now, I want to read this scripture, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist.'" John the Baptist, by this time, had been beheaded. "Some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Now He asked him a question, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they went on to give some answers. But I want to give you some answers in accordance to our time today. The first thing that I want you to understand about Jesus is that Jesus Christ is not a fable. A fable is a story that is basically that did not happen. It's just a story. But the historical evidence to support the Bible is overwhelming. If you want to take the time to do it, you can look at secular authors. You can read the writings of Josephus. You can read the historical writings of the time. You can study the historical documents for the Bible. You can study the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Qumran tablets, and you can study the different things that go back and date over years, how the Bible, the canon of Scripture, was actually put together. And you know, a lot of people who want to discredit or disprove Jesus Christ have actually tried to do that. But no one's ever been able to discredit or prove that Jesus Christ didn't exist or that the things written in Scripture didn't happen. Jesus is not a fable. Jesus is also not a fairy tale. What is a fairy tale? Well, it's wishful thinking. It's not reality, and sometimes it may even be too good to be true. Well, when you consider the grace of God and you consider what Jesus Christ did for us, the fact is, it does seem too good to be true. It seems so good and too good to be true that many people trying to find a way to be at peace with God still don't believe in the simple grace of being saved by grace through faith, where the scripture says the just shall live by faith, and they're still trying to earn the acceptance of God. There are people, and I heard some this week, they're talking about how they're so seeking and desiring to receive the approval of God, and this is different religious sects that say that they believe in God as we do, that they will actually get on their knees and walk up flights of stairs trying to show their humbleness to be accepted by God. There are certain denominations and actually religions to where they constantly work, and it's almost to them like God is keeping score, and they're trying to be good enough to be accepted by God. To them, the idea of grace is a fairy tale. But I want to tell you that Jesus is not a fairy tale. It's true. Also, I want you to understand this, because this is where the world has Jesus today, a lot of them. Jesus Christ is not a fad. You see, a fad is a passing preference or choice that is confined to a period of time. Sometimes people say, well, give them time and they will get over it. I've heard people say that about me in my life. But I met Jesus Christ and my life has never been the same. You know, he may have, and I'm speaking of Jesus Christ, he may have had times in this nation to where he was more worshipped, maybe. Maybe there were times when per capita there were more people who were saved or more people who went to church or more people who believed in God. But I want to tell you, till Jesus comes, he's not going to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God is going to stand forever. See, Jesus is not a fad. And here's something else that I want you to understand, because there are many people today, and you've probably seen the bumper stickers that say coexist. And if you look at the bumper sticker, it's got all these different figures or symbols from different religions, and it's got them put together to try to put together something that says everybody ought to just get along. You know, I think everybody ought to just get along, but I want to tell you something. There's one path to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is not just another option. Now, I want to tell you, based on the Word of God, and I'm, of course, yes, we're going to be reading from the Bible. What does the Word of God say about who Jesus is? In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, a lot of times we try to quote these, but I'm going to read them to you today. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than what? The name of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, this is one of my favorite verses in this reference. It says, for there is one God, big G, and one mediator between God and men. That's the one that stands between us and God, that makes intercession for us, and that is the man Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, it says this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that's what the Bible says about Jesus, but have you ever thought about what Jesus actually said about himself? And I'm just going to give you just a few references here. One of our favorite verses, and I know this is a verse that Brother Allen often uses. I think this is the one, Brother Allen, I heard you got up on your wall at work. It's John 14:6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's what Jesus said about himself. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 6, Jesus said he had power to forgive sins. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Matthew 26:32, Jesus said that he would rise again from the grave. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. Now, if you study that scripture, he's basically saying to forgive sins and to heal. You see, the religious people of Jesus' day, when they heard him say that he had power to forgive sins, they called it blasphemy. It would not be called blasphemy if you believed that he was the Son of God. In Mark 14, in verse 62, Jesus said that he was the Christ. So that's what Jesus said about himself. We see what the Bible says about Jesus. But when he asked the question of Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? They started off by saying, well, John the Baptist. If you understand the story and the scripture and even the Old Testament writings, the Bible teaches that before Christ there would be a forerunner. He was John the Baptist. If you're a Bible reader, you remember the story where Mary went to Elizabeth and she told Elizabeth that she was with child, and John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. And the scripture says that he leaped in the womb. Now, there's a whole nother message there that we could talk about where life begins. But John the Baptist was not only alive, but John the Baptist in the womb was moved by the Holy Spirit of God as God began to testify through his Spirit that Jesus Christ was coming. The Savior was coming. They said he's John the Baptist because when John the Baptist came during his time, he preached like no one had ever preached. More powerful, greater than any prophet, so much so that when Jesus Christ spoke of him, he said, of those born of women, there's never been one greater than John the Baptist. So they said, surely it's John the Baptist. He's risen from the grave. Others said, well, it's Elijah or Elias, the prophet, the great Old Testament prophet who lived from 740 to 690 B.C. He was the prophet who told that Jesus would be born of a virgin. He told that he would be powerful, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Others said, well, he's Jeremiah, the great weeping prophet who lived from 627 to 586 B.C. And then they went on to say, or one of the other prophets. He's come back. He's rose from the dead. Why? Because the power that they preached in, they demonstrated a touch from God. And there's no doubt that Jesus Christ demonstrated the power of God in his preaching, in his words, and in his miracles. But I want you to understand this morning that by calling Jesus a prophet, you deny his deity and you deny the fact that he is God incarnate, God in the flesh. By calling Jesus a prophet, you lower him to the level of all other gods that men have. Do you know that this is what the religion of Islam does with Jesus Christ? They don't try to deny that Jesus existed. So if you want evidence that Jesus existed outside of the Bible, just ask a Muslim. They'll tell you that Jesus existed, but they will tell you that he was a lesser prophet than Muhammad. But I'll tell you this, and I'm going to have to move on because I could park here for just a minute. The tomb of Muhammad's got bones in it. The tomb of Jesus Christ is empty because he rose, and because he lives, we can live. Remember, he's not just a way, he is the way. You see, by calling Jesus a prophet, you deny the fact that he became our substitute and took all of our sin upon himself. But here's something great, and this is amazing to me. There is a God, and I'm not him, you're not him. You can believe in whatever deity you want to, or you can choose to believe in nothing at all, but you must believe in something. You came from somewhere, and when you die, you're going somewhere. It's amazing to me that this is the way that God chose to save the world. Why? Because he loves you so much, he calls you his children. He calls you his offspring. And he loved you so much that when he searched and there was no fit mediator, there was nothing that could be given, he gave of himself. And the best way that you can understand the love is that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we're living in a world today where there are many, many opinions. And I've got some quotes here that I want to share with you. And I want you to understand, intellect does not give spiritual wisdom. As I mentioned, the Muslims say that Jesus was a lesser prophet. Liberal teachers today, some of these with PhDs, professors in liberal universities, they say things like this: Jesus is the leader of a religion that some follow, but he is outdated for today's forward thinkers. You see, God is not changed, he does not change, and he will not change, and he's not a fad. He's going to be around long after many of these people that deny him are gone. So many others that denied him are gone. Here's a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. It says, "Jesus died too soon. If he had lived to my age, he would have repudiated his doctrine." Now that's bold. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I cannot say that Jesus was uniquely divine. He was as much divine as Krishna or Rama or Muhammad or Zoroaster." So what do men say? Well, he's one of the prophets. He's this, he's that. You've heard what Gandhi said. H.G. Wells, a historian, said, "I am a historian and I am not a believer. But I must confess, as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably at the very center of history." So he's admitting that Jesus Christ lived, and he's admitting that he's impacted the world. What about Napoleon? Napoleon said that Alexander, who is Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest this creation of our genius? But upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Napoleon's gone. Alexander the Great is gone. Caesar's gone. Charlemagne is gone. All the great leaders of the seven greatest kingdoms of the Old Testament are gone. But the word of Jesus Christ is still being preached today. His power is still going out to save the lost today. Philip Schaff said, without writing a single line, he, speaking of Jesus, set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, and songs of praise than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. Then we come to the one that I really like, and this is an author, it's C.S. Lewis. He said, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, and you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. And that's what we must understand about Jesus Christ. He is either who he said he was, or he's a maniac. You see, when I study the Word of God and I see my Lord and I see my God as creator of all the world and all the things that I understand, all the things that I don't understand, I can either bow at his feet and worship him and believe what he says, or I can reject him and turn the other way. But if you reject him and you follow anything else in this world, listen to me, any religion, anything that is against God, you're choosing to bow to something that's less than God, because he created all things. Scripture says that all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's why it amazes me when I hear people talking about bowing to anything that's less than God. You see, God loves you so much that he cared so much for you. He made a plan especially for you to reign with him forever. And he's going to lift you, his creation, his children, his offspring, to the level that is above angels. But all you have to do is accept him and believe. Let's go back to our text verse. So what did Peter say? All these others said this, and some say this, and some say that, and there are some today that you can be anything in the world that you want to be as long as you're not a dedicated Christian. Why? Because Jesus Christ speaks with power and conviction, and it convicts the world of sin, and the world today does not want to be convicted of sin. That's why it's okay to be anything except a Bible-believing Christian. What did Peter say? Said, he saith unto him, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I ask you today, when we consider the question, who do you say that Jesus is? It's the greatest question that you'll ever ponder in your life, because it determines your eternity. Sometimes when people look at life, and sometimes life presents its difficulties, and it does, and they say, it's just too much for me and I cannot continue on. I've got news for you. You will continue on. When you close your eyes in death here, you're going to open them in eternity. And depending on the path that you choose, whether you accept the Lord and you follow God, or you choose to go your own way, what you're choosing without accepting Jesus Christ is you're choosing a path for eternity based on your own merits and your own ability, when you yourself have nothing to give in exchange for your soul. I would rather depend on God. Not because I understand everything. Not because that I know everything. That's why if we look at these young children that have come up here this morning, what does it take to be saved? It takes simple, childlike faith. I heard a man stand one time and give his testimony. And I'm talking about a man that's serving God. He gave his testimony of being saved when he was 3 years old. You say, I just don't know about that. What does it take to be saved? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will be saved. All the things that you don't understand, all the things in the world, all the things that we pay attention to, all the things that we don't understand, can we not believe there's a God? It amazes me today that there are so many people, especially young people coming along, that find it easier to believe in aliens and outer space creatures, and that the earth was populated by aliens years ago, and they're still looking at us today. than it is to believe in God. I said, and I watched those shows, Ancient Aliens. And you say, you do that, Pastor? Yes, I do. You want some scripture verses for it? I got them. Because there's nothing I've ever seen on one of those shows that's not actually outlined in scripture, and God gives us a plan. But here's how big it is to the world. To the world, it's this big, but to God, it's this big. Because the Bible talks about things that happened long ago when there was a rebellion in heaven, when there were those that rebelled against God. And the Bible says those who kept not their first estate are kept in chains and darkness against that day. Now, folks, that's getting deep, but I want you to understand something. Don't listen to science. Don't listen to things like that without reading your Bible and understanding what's big to the world is little to God. If He's God the Creator, He's able to build. He's able to do things that you can't understand. And the Bible said there's, if it was written in the book, the earth wouldn't even hold it all. Amen. And we find it so easy to believe in all that stuff, but we can't fall down and worship a God who is our Creator. Who do you say that Jesus is? He's either God, the Son of God, and He's got something great in store for you, or you're going to reject Him and miss out. It's not about what you do. So many people are trying to make it, trying to be good enough. When what God really wants us to do is believe Him and how big He is. One thing God spoke to me about this week, when I kept thinking about the scripture over and over that says the just shall live by faith. If we would learn how to simply walk by faith and trust God and how big God is, there's nothing, doesn't the Bible say, there is nothing that is impossible for God. But we must surrender to Him and accept Him and recognize who He is, or we're going to miss out on all the blessings that God has for us. So who do you say that Jesus is? Sometimes I think people think, well, if I surrender my life to the Lord, I'm going to miss out on this, I'm going to miss out on that. I don't know where people get that. You see, what I found is the greatest place that I can be in my life is right in the middle of the peace of God. Listening close for the moving of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to help me be the best me that I can be. The biggest problems that I've had in my life, now I was saved at 12. Wish I'd have got saved at 6 or 5 too. They told me a little bit ago that Zeke has been asking for 1 year when he's going to get to be baptized. Regularly. I remember riding home from Awana in the first old red 4Runner that I had. I had a car seat in the front seat. Matthew was sitting in there. We were coming up Ridge Road, and I looked over, and he had his head down. This is the way the Holy Spirit of God works. 5 years old, God was dealing with him. I looked over there. Immediately, I knew. And I said, son, is God talking to you? Folks, I didn't try to give him some dissertation of 15 verses. I said, is God talking to you? He said, yeah. I said, what's God saying? I said, is God speaking to you about being saved? He said, yeah. We got home and we knelt down by the bed. You ever heard anybody say, well, if you can't remember the day and if you can't remember the time and if you can't remember the place that you knelt that you wasn't saved? I'll tell you when you get saved. You get saved when you simply say, I believe, and you accept it in your heart and you're not ashamed of it. I was 12. I don't know what day and month it was. I remember Earl Partain was preaching. But I said, is God talking to you? We knelt down and prayed. I'll tell you how I've done it with my kids. We'll pray every day if you want to. Haven't I said this before? These altars are always open. You keep coming till you get what you need from God. Don't let the world talk you out of it. Don't let some religious person talk you out of it. You let the Holy Spirit of God do its work. The time you're going to get saved is when you accept what God has. The question this morning, and I'm done, is simply this. Who do you say that Jesus is? He's either the Son of God, and it's God's plan to save the world, or he's a lunatic. And if that's true, where do you place your hope? I choose to place mine in Jesus. I want to ask you to rise to your feet, and they're going to play a song. And the song is, If You Knew Him Like I Know Him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, you'd know. But it's up to you this morning. Every individual, personal relationship with God. If God spoke to you this morning, you'd like to pray, you don't know Jesus, or you just want to come and pray, ladies, if you'll come, there'll be a lady pray with you. Men, if you'd like to pray, a man can pray with you. We just want to help you today get anything that you need from the Lord. As they play this song, if you'd like to come, would you please come?